Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Thrive Church, a church passionate about moving people towards Jesus.
Good morning, everybody. That a beautiful picture of Thanksgiving in the life of our church, isn't it? Good morning to the 10th city. Are you all alive?
Yes.
Grateful for aircon?
Yes.
Sort of, kinda. Good morning to Boksburg. Edenvale, just so you know, we're streaming live to Boksburg this morning. So good morning, Boksburg. Give them a shout and say hello. Good morning to Boksburg and a very special welcome to you if you're from Brakpan this morning. We'd love to welcome you at Brakpan. Hello to all the family and friends who may be visiting today and cheering your loved ones on, both in Boksburg and in Edenvale. If you are in the building because somebody you know and love got baptized, welcome. We hope that you feel welcome. We hope that this feels like home for you. And we have had 20 people being baptized, in fact, more, because there were, I think, a couple of spontaneous dudes in Boksburg as well. So brilliant, brilliant. How many in total, Chef? 30 baptisms in total today. Isn't that awesome? So well done, Edenvale. Well done, Boksburg. The things are happening, aren't they? You ready for the word this morning? Come, should we stand to our feet? I know you've stood and sat. But, you know, there's something about us standing to get ready for God's word. It honors his word. It prepares our hearts, gets the blood flowing, gets us off of our phones if we are tempted to be distracted. If you've got ADD this morning, welcome to the club. There's a whole bunch of dodgy people next to you all that have got ADD. And so that all helps us. But most of all, it enables us to stand before God and to have a posture. And so I want to invite you this morning just to open your hands like this or lift your hands to heaven. Or, you know, physical posture can so determine our spiritual receptivity. Hey, so Boksburg, Edenvale, where you are, stand and let's just declare, Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you so much for your goodness and your love. We thank you so much for our community. And we ask this morning that you would speak to us. Holy Spirit, you would take the word that is preached, you would take the word, the scripture that's read, and you would forge it into our lives. I pray that prophetically there would be a difference in our spirit, a change in spirit. Father, that this morning deep would call to deep, that the Holy Spirit would speak to our spirits, that we would leave here with something deposited in our lives that was not within us when we arrived. That Holy Spirit, you'd put something into our spirits that would change us, that would mold us and shape us, that would leave us different. That today there would be a hope that would rise in your people, a hope that would be forged within us, that we would be good news people who form the world around us and let your kingdom come in us. In Jesus' name. And everybody in 10:30, both campuses said,
amen.
Amen, amen. Thanks, everyone. Please do have a seat. For those of you that were in our Thanksgiving offering service earlier in the month, we've been in a series over this last month of Thanksgiving. It's the series where we've been focusing and coming before God with Thanksgiving on our lives and saying and looking back and saying, surely God has been good to us, has he not? And one of the things that I mentioned in that service was about the seed that was 2,000 years old. It was discovered in 2008, and it was discovered in Herod's temple in Masada in Israel, in his palace, not his temple. And this seed, everybody discovered it, the scientists who discovered it, everybody thought this thing's dead. And a group of them decided to have an experiment and to take a chance. And what they did is they planted the seed in some soil and thought, let's wait and see what happens. Well, guess what happened? Nobody would have expected it, but this seed began to germinate and it began to grow. And would you believe it, church? This seed grew into what it was designed to grow into, which was a palm tree, beautiful palm tree. You'll see a picture of it. It's the most incredible thing. Like that has grown from a 2,000-year-old seed. And the point that I made in our Thanksgiving offering is that there's no such thing as a dead seed. Sometimes what we think is dead is not dead, it's merely dormant. But the point that I want to make today from that seed is that you, what's inside of us determines what grows around us. Are you with me? What's inside of us determines what grows around us. And there is stuff within us that can determine and form the environment around us. In short, there are things that can grow. There are trees that can grow. There's life that can come in our lives when you and I let the seeds that are within us, which we may have thought were dead, but they're not dead, they're dormant. And when that seed comes to life, and today I'm hoping and praying, my prayer into the service has been that there would be a seed of hope, that maybe for some of it's alive and well, but for others, maybe it's a little bit dormant, and others still, we've thought that it's dead, and that the Lord would, by His power, by His Holy Spirit, as the word is preached this morning, that there would be a hope that lifts, that rises in every single person in this congregation, that you would leave here with a hope deposited in your life. It's what's inside of us that determines the atmospheres and the culture around us. And if there's hope inside of us, how many of you know the culture and the atmosphere around us can change because there's a hope within us? Title of the message this morning, if you like a title and if that's helpful to you, is I've called it Cultivating a Hopeful Mentality. Cultivating a Hopeful Mentality. Here's the thing, it'll be on the screen, maybe take a picture of it if you want it to live with you this week. It's what's cultivated inside of us that determines both the atmosphere around us, but also the future ahead of us. And what you and I cultivate inside of us determines the future and the quality of the future ahead of us. This Thanksgiving month, we've been focusing on looking back and going, God has been good. But as we wrap the series up today, and this is why we're streaming to both campuses, we wanted the church to receive one message on the same day. As we conclude this Thanksgiving month, I wanted us to think about the thought that it's true gratitude is not simply looking back and seeing what God has done, but true gratitude is living with a hope within our hearts that determines the future that we will have, such that we'll get there one day and say, thank you, God, for what you have done. But you got it done partly because of the hope that's within my life. Gratitude is both backwards looking, but it's also forward looking. When you and I look forward with hope, we know that we are together with God to co-labor to create the future that we one day will be thankful for. Are you with me? We're not simply recipients of what God gives us. We are co-laborers with Him in the kingdom. You and I bring the kingdom to earth in our lives and in the world around us. One of the most powerful ways that we do that is what we live within our spirits and what we live within our hearts. Oh, there's this incredible account in scripture, this marvelous account of Israel in one of the darkest and toughest places in their history. Listen, these guys were in exile. They'd been taken from Jerusalem, ripped out of the heart of their nation, transported against their will into Babylon, modern day Iraq. The very nation that God had destined for great things, now because of centuries of disobedience, they found themselves in this strangers in a strange land, but exiled into a foreign culture, and arguably in their darkest hour as a nation. And it is into this that God speaks words of hope. And guess what? Here's the trouble. As God spoke words of hope into the nation took these words and they ran with them. They were obedient to them. And as a result of that, their future changed and they looked back with thanks to God and said, thank you for the words of hope that you gave us, which we took with, which we ran with, that created a different future and we're thankful for it. If you take words of hope this morning and if you run with them and if you'll be obedient to them, they will co-design the future that your family and my family will have in this country. And one day we will look back and we'll say, thank you, God, for the words of hope that you deposited into our spirits. I hope today that it's not a mental game for you. I hope today that there's an impartation into your spirit, that you walk here with your shoulders back, your chest out, your chin raised, your eyes gazing forward, full of hope for what God is going to do in the future. Can you say amen? Amen. Boxburg, are you with me this morning? Thank you. Come, let's read the text. Jeremiah chapter 29. Now, as soon as I mention 29, whole bunches of us go, Jeremiah chapter 29, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. We all love that verse. Many of us know that verse. We love it. But there's gold just preceding that. Jeremiah chapter 29, this is what comes before verse 11. Are you with me? Verses 49. This is what the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says to all the captives he has exiled to Babylon from Jerusalem. Build homes and plan to stay. Plant gardens and eat the food they produce. Marry and have children and then find spouses for them, so that you may have many grandchildren. Arranged marriages are biblical, everybody. Listen, if you see a Boxburg, if you see a great family in the church, you look at their kids, you think those kids come from good stock. That's the kind of I've already pre-arranged about 5 marriages for each of our kids. Because there's just fantastic families all over. I'm like, that'll be a great spouse for our kids. You know what they say? Marry for quality, love will come later. Anyway, where was I? You're all distracting me. Oh, marry and have children. Then find spouses for them. Grandchildren, multiply. You get the picture, right? Do not dwindle away and work for the peace and prosperity of the city where I sent you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it. Why? Because its welfare will determine your welfare. We'll come to that. This is what the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says. Do not let your prophets and fortune tellers who are with you in the land of Babylon trick you. Do not listen to their dreams, because they're telling you lies in my name. I have not sent them, says the Lord. This entire text is a text of hope-filled words which God sows into the spirits of the nation and which they take and they run. This entire text is a text about the future, and it's about hope for the future. Today, cultivating a hopeful mentality, full of hope. I want to offer us 5 thoughts on how to cultivate, on how to work the soil of our hearts and our minds and our spirits, that we walk away with our hopefulness as part of us. Yeah. Are you with me? Yeah. Number 1, a hopeful mentality is a mentality of increase. It's a mentality of increase. Look at the words, build, plant, marry, multiply, increase. Verses 5 and 6, build these homes, plan to stay, plant the gardens, eat the food they produce, marry, have children, find spouses. These are all words of increase and not decrease. God has always designed for his people. He has always had the plan for his people to increase, not only to increase in number, but to increase in stature, to increase in influence, to increase in terms of our impact on the world amongst us, to increase in our mentality, to increase in our heart space, for our minds to be enlarged, our hearts to be enlarged, our spirits to be enlarged. God never designed you small, and he never designed me small. And so the first thing about a mentality of hopefulness is that it is linked to increase. God says to the nation, I hope while you're in this place. In fact, not I hope, I instruct. While you're in this place, do not shrivel away. Do not become less. Are you with me? During COVID, we were... Just before COVID, we'd planned to build a new office block for our Boxburg campus and to extend the kids zone area. That was the plan, to increase the classes and then to build an office block and boardroom and lounge, etc., and new bathrooms, etc., on the top level. And then COVID hit. I'll never forget our board meeting. Our first board meeting for the year turned into an online board meeting. Remember trying to get Zoom up and running? Do anybody remember those? And so the first board meeting became a Zoom meeting where everybody logs on and you see their faces close up to the cameras. They're trying to figure out how this all works. And long story short, so good evening, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us. First item on the agenda is the building project. And actually, to my shame now, my words were this: I guess we'll put that on hold for a while we see what happens. Because we were going to build new kids' facilities. What that would have meant is we would have had to have brought in extra toilets for the kids because the bathrooms were being redone. It would have meant we would have only been able to build 4 days of the week, as they needed to clear up and get ready for church on the Friday. So it was a complicated exercise. And one of our board members, there were a couple of people, you know, nodding around the table, but one of our board members, he raised his hand. Remember learning how to do a raised hand on Zoom, like the little thing. Like I see him figuring out. Dunk, he wants to raise his hand. So he said, "Hey guys, thanks so much. Could I just press into that thought a little bit? Could I suggest that maybe this is the very best time to build? We can build 6 days of the week, not 4 days of the week. Builders are going to be hustling for good prices. We can negotiate with builders and with contractors like we've never hustled before. We can get this job done in super quick time. We don't even need to hire in kids' bathrooms and portable toilets for the kids on Sundays because there's no kids on the campus." Yeah. It ended up being the very best time to build. Yeah. And we got that job done in 6 months. And today there's a beautiful office block. There's beautiful kids' facilities extended, all sorts of great things. Why? Because one man, and am I not grateful for him, had a mentality of increase. In challenging times, maintain a mentality of increase. Are you with me? Principle to apply. It'll be on the screen. Principle to apply. Every hopeful future starts with a mentality. Every hopeful future starts with a mentality and with a mentality of increase. Are you still with me? Yes. Eden Valley's Brackpan, I hope you are. A hopeful mentality, number two, is an investment mentality. It's one thing to increase, it's another thing to invest. You see, not all increase is good, and that's why God is so specific in his wording in this text, because increase is one thing. How many of you know we can increase our waistlines? That's not necessarily a good thing. We can increase our expenditure during December. You know, December when Joburg gets stars in their eyes and everybody forgets that there's a budget, and you go, we'll fix the problem in January. And then you skip your tithe. I'm done. I didn't look at anybody in particular. I just put it. And of course, I wasn't talking to Edenvale. But you know how, you know, we can increase our expenditure. We can spend, you know, that's not necessarily good. The point that I'm making is not all increase is good. But increase that comes as a result of investment is. And so the wording that Jeremiah uses here, inspired by the Spirit of God, is are words not only of increase, but if you drill down into them more specifically, are the words of investment. They are words of investment. Build and plan and stay and plant and invest and increase and multiply. These are all investment words. And I want to suggest to you that the very best time for you and I to invest is oftentimes the most challenging times when we look around us. You know, before being in ministry, I spent 14 years in financial services world. We were pension fund experts. We told people how to, boards and trustees and companies and members of funds, how to invest for retirement savings. And I spent my life saying to people, the time to invest is not when the stock market is at the top. It's not when it's had a great run. That's not the time to all of a sudden jump on the bandwagon and go, yeah, I'm here for the ride. You know, that's not the time. The time to invest is when the moment of greatest return comes when we invest at the point of lowest yield. Yeah. Invest in the trough and your return will be much greater. Can I suggest to you that the greatest time for you and I to invest is arguably when you and I are most challenged in our lives? Yeah. And I'm not just talking about financial investment. As a church, we've been financially investing over this last month in our Thanksgiving offering. So for those of you that may not have been at the Thanksgiving offering service and you still want to, you see, he says, plan your investment, plan to stay, plan to marry, plan your grandkids, plan their marriages. You know what I mean? Plan. Each one of us, we should plan to invest financially. We've been doing that this month. And if you haven't yet done that and you want to plan still to do it, you can do it today. As you walk out, there's the vision offering brochures on the tables. There's a glass Perspex container on the info desk. You can put your pledge in and your giving, and you can still plan to give, plan to invest. Each one of us is, who calls this place home, we should be planning to invest. But we should be doing more than just planning to invest in our home here. We should be planning to invest in our homes at home with our children and with our marriages and with our friendships. But we should be planning to invest into the people in our workplaces. We grab somebody who could be your second in charge, somebody who could come behind you in the workplace and invest in them. Invest into somebody younger. Invest into somebody that you know that could fly one day. Invest into somebody who could stand on your shoulders. Invest, put yourself into them, pour yourself. There's nothing better than a person that invests. It's become an investing generation. You know, you and I, we are sitting right now, we are sitting in the shade of this building. This is a tree that past generations planted. What did they do? They invested. You and I are sitting in the shade of others' investments. Let's be a generation that invests. Let's be, you know, this is a problem with so many like people in our ruling structures, is the guys want to consume, they want to take, they want to divest. Let's be investors, let's be contributors, not consumers, but contributors. Let's be people who add to this. After, when all is said and done and I'm pushing up daisies, I want there to be things in this world that were not there before my life. Are you with me? I don't want to take from the system, I want to add to the system. Yeah, Sia Khaleesi, have a look at him when he was young, little youngster. He looks like such a puppy, doesn't he? But then have a look at what investment does. You see, investment takes that young guy, that young lad, and investment turns him into what? A World Cup winner. Hey, it changes. It changes. Investment. Investment is what does that. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Boxburg, I hope you're still good. If you're still good, kick the person next to you and tell them I'm alive. I'm kicking. Principle to apply. Whenever God calls us to create hope, he calls us to invest. Let's be investors. If you want to invest into Thanksgiving offering, do so today. It's kind of the end of our month where we've been pledging. I mean, you can continue to pledge all throughout the year, but this November has been a time where we're particularly focused on it. Number three, a hopeful mentality is a positive mentality. A hopeful mentality is a positive mentality. Verse 7, work for the peace and the prosperity of the city where I sent you into exile. These words, peace and prosperity, they are positive words. God says, my plan for you right now is that you're in a place where you may not want to be permanently. Nevertheless, work for the positive good of that place. Work for the good of the land in which you plant your feet. Why? Because God says, if it prospers, you will. If Germiston prospers and you live in Germiston, so will you. If Boxburg prospers and you live in it, if Benoni, if Meadowdale, if Hurleyvale, and if Edenvale, if Brakpan prospers, you know you're going to prosper. You with me? Hey, work for the peace and the prosperity. Don't simply desire good things for it. Work for it. There's a brilliant thing going on in our hometown, Benoni, called Clean Projects. It's a nonprofit organization called Clean Projects. These guys are doing incredible work. If you see them around, give them a hoot, support them. They are doing amazing work, cleaning up the pavements, painting the curbs, painting the road lines, erecting stop street signs where they need to. They're just making Benoni look fantastic. And their little motto is this, little things matter. Little things matter. What are they doing? They are not only desiring the best for Benoni, they're working for the best of Benoni. We've got to stay positive. Do a quick exercise. Some of you who are here on Thanksgiving service will know what I'm about to do. But I'm going to quickly ask you, both campuses, Boxburg campus, Edenvale campus, on the count of three, I'm going to ask you to start counting to 10 quietly, just in your head. Ready? On the count of three. One, two, three. Boxburg, Edenvale, start counting. Okay, now quickly shout the name Jesus. Quickly, say it.
Jesus!
Okay, what happened to your counting? It got interrupted. It stopped, right? Why did it stop? Because I rudely interrupted you. Yeah. What did I rudely interrupt you with? I asked your mouth to take over from your mind. all of a sudden I said, say Jesus, you stopped counting, your mind became subservient to your mouth. And your mouth overtook your mind. Principle. The authority of my mouth is greater than the authority of my mind. So, anytime you're feeling negative, you can't stop the negative thought coming, but what you can do is decide whether to open the door and let it in. And the way you stop that, friends, is simply to declare something positive. Say something positive. Find three things to be positive. I mean, if there's a person next to you and you can find anything about them, say something positive about them. You know what I mean? You know, look up and thank God for the sun. You know, thank them that we don't live in England and that we have sun here. There's actual summer in our nation. Are you with me? Find something. I mean anything. I mean, if you like the look of somebody's shoelaces next to you, just tell them find something. Why? Because the authority of your mind is greater than the authority of your mouth. This is the way we seek and speak over the peace and prosperity of our nation. Number four, a hopeful mentality listens to the right voices. Verses 8 and 9, check it out. Do not let your prophets and fortune tellers and your News 24 app. Trick you. Do not read the You magazine. Sincerely, Jesus, let nobody work for the You magazine in our church. If you do, I'm so sorry. You can't please all the people all the time. Anyway, do not listen to their dreams. Why? Because they're telling you lies in my name. I've not sent them, says the Lord. Hang with me. God had a plan for his people. And the plan was that he was going to have them in exile. And while they were in exile, God was forming them and molding them and shaping them and making them into who he knew they could become. Yeah. This group of Skabanga fortune tellers, they come and they start saying to Israel, hey, listen, don't worry about it. It's not going to be 70 years. It's going to just be a short time. We don't know how long exactly, but it's going to be short. Church, they were the voice of comfort, but it was a false comfort. They were the voice of opposition to significance. You see, God had the formation of a people in mind. The devil had the comfort of a people in mind. God is more interested in the formation of us as a people than he is in our comfort levels. God would rather see greatness emerge out of your heart and your spirit than he would see you live a comfortable life. And so if there needs to be a season of exile, in effect, this is what he was saying, then there needs to be a season of exile to get done in you the work that needs to get done. Think back to Adam and Eve. The devil, Pastor Ken and I heard an amazing message 20 years ago by an incredible preacher. The message was simply this, is that the devil does shortcuts. And everything in your life that the devil will try to sabotage will be through him trying to get you to take a shortcut. Adam and Eve, they were designed and made to be like the Lord. Yet what did the devil tempt them into doing? Just eat of that fruit and you can become like him lacquer quick. It's like taking a diet pill. Are you with me? Swallow the pill, it's comfortable, it's easy. Don't go to gym, that will never work for you. Are you with me? Shortcut. God was forming something in the Israelites. And the devil was going, cut it short. This is uncomfortable. You know, when God calls us to significance, it's always going to be uncomfortable. I said this in Thanksgiving offering. Every year when we come to Thanksgiving offering, I've got two voices on my shoulder. One is the voice of comfort. The other is the voice of significance. The voice of comfort always gives me a lower number. The voice of significance always gives me a higher number. The voice of significance sounds a lot like Pastor Ken's voice. It's normally in her voice. How many of you know that the voice of significance is wrapped up in the voice of your spouse? Can I get some amens? As you give to Thanksgiving offering, you're going to have two voices. You're going to go have comfort, significance. Which voice do we listen to? Do you have the As the Lord is busy forming you more into his likeness, you're going to have the voice of comfort and the voice of significance. Careful which voices we listen to, hey? Careful which voices we listen to. You see, because our reality starts with our mentality. Our culture loves a thing called magical realism. We wish it were so, therefore it must be so. Can we have a quick pastoral moment? Can I take a short left? At the risk of you booing me off the stage. Our current reality is simply the culmination of our mentality. Where we find ourselves is because of how we've thought about things. That can be positive, and that can be negative. Let me give you an example. You might be stuck in a job that you hate. The reason you feel stuck in that job is because you've believed that you can't get another one. You believe that you're not worth more. Subtle as it may seem, and you might say to me, I would never. Underneath the surface, that's the thing. Be stuck in an abusive relationship. The reason you're stuck in an abusive relationship is because deep down you haven't valued yourself enough to say, this is enough. I'm worth more than this. Are you with me? Some of you, your businesses are flying and you're doing great things in your businesses. The reason they're flying and you're doing great things is because you decided a risk is worth taking. I'm going to get out of my comfort zone. I'm going to expand. I'm going to do things that I've never done. Some of you have embarked on new career paths. Why? Because it started with a mentality that said, I think I can do that. Yes. Yeah. Are you with me? Am I making the point? Yeah. Our mentality determines our reality. Principle to apply. We can only listen to one voice, the voice of hope or the voice of pessimism, the voice of significance or the voice of comfort. Number 5, are you all tracking with me?
Yes.
Both campuses, I hope you're still good. A hopeful mentality, number 5, is anchored in prayer. It's anchored in prayer. Verse 7, pray to the Lord for it, for its welfare will determine your welfare. Church, this is single-handedly the biggest thought to emerge from this text. Don't just work for the good of it. Yeah. Don't just will for the good of the land. Yeah. Pray for it. Yeah. Because what you pray for, friends, can happen. Yeah. Jeremiah says there's a direct link between the prayers of the people for the land in which they find themselves and the outcome and the future that they experience. There's a direct outcome between your reality and your prayers. There is a direct outcome between our prayers as the church. Make no mistake about this. As apartheid was dismantled in our country, and some of our provinces, particularly KZN, we were on the brink of civil war. Do you know, I've read book after book about this. There were church leaders on the grassroots, on their knees, praying. The future of our country hung in the balance. The church prayed. We've got elections happening next year. We should pray. Why? Because the prayers of the people determine the reality on the ground. And if you think that's pie in the sky, God instructs the nation to pray. And he says, for its welfare determines your welfare. When I go running in the morning, one of my prayers, I pray for the guys in power. Pray for the people in power. And I say, God, those who are doing a great job, bless them, favor them, give them more space, give them more influence. Godly people who are making good decisions, unselfish decisions, godly people who are not stealing, who are contributing and adding, keep them in power. God, every skabanger, every dodgy person, every self-interested, lazy worker, from the municipal level to the provincial and the state level, every person who's pulling from the system, feeding from the trough, boot them out. May they find themselves without a job. They must go work for a corporate that can give them lots of money and withstand a loss. But they mustn't come work for the state. They mustn't come work for the government. We don't have the money to waste. Amen.
Amen.
Imagine we became a church. Boxburg, imagine this with me for a moment. Imagine we became a church that realized the ground that we stand on in our church is an altar. That every follower of Jesus is a living stone. And you stand in this auditorium, not having pulled in for a Sunday service, but you stand in this auditorium with fire in your belly and passion in your heart, and you begin to pray because the ground that you stand on is an altar. The people next to you carry the gifting of God. They are the people of God. They are the church of God. Imagine you just decided, I'm going to pray a blessing over them. I'm going to pray a blessing over them. I'm going to pray a blessing over my church. I'm going to pray a blessing over my leaders. I'm going to pray a blessing over our country. I'm going to pray a blessing over the business that I'm in. I'm going to pray a blessing over the school that I'm part of. I'm going to pray a blessing over the university that I am. I'm going to pray a blessing over every single thing that I touch, every atmosphere I walk into. I'm going to pray a blessing over it because I'm standing and I'm a living stone. I'm a living stone. So we pray. Church, pray, please pray. Wake up earlier, stay up later, set your alarm during the day, get down on your knees in the loo at your office, but pray. Because we can shape the architecture of our nation when we pray. And we shape the nature and the architecture of our families and of our homes and of our friends when we pray. I hope this lands in your spirit. Pray. Principle to apply. It'll be on the screen. There's a link between our prayers and the future we experience. A hopeful mentality. Let me recap for all those who have ADD. It's a mentality of increase, number one, right? Number two, it's investment focused. It's not simply increase, it's investment. Keep asking God for more. Keep thinking about more. Keep planning for more. And as you do that, say, God, I don't want more for the sake of more. I want more because I'm investing. Think about who you can invest. Think about what you can invest into Thanksgiving offering. Think about what you can invest into the car guard as you impact that. Think about what you can invest into your domestic helper at home. Think about what you can invest into your children. Think investment. Are you with me? And as you do so, you'll cultivate hope. It's a positive mentality. It wants good things for the ground in which we're planted, listens to the right voices, and it's anchored in prayer. There is this beautiful, beautiful fresco. Fresco means it's painted on a wall or a ceiling. This painting is called the Aurora, and it's found in a palace in Rome. This palace has a name. It's an Italian name. I have to read it every single time I try and say it because it sounds like a pasta dish. It's like fettuccine arrabbiata bolognese spaghetti. Here it is. Yeah, I had to go and read it. The Rospigliosi Palace. What would you like for dinner? I want Rospigliosi with fettuccine, please. Rospigliosi. It's this beautiful palace, and it's situated in Rome, in Italy, right? And this Aurora painting is 2.8 meters high and 7 meters wide. And it's painted by a guy called Guido Reni in 1614. It's a masterpiece of frescoes. And it's painted on the ceiling. And so as people come in, they look at this thing and they're captivated by it and they keep looking at it and their necks started craning and people started getting neck problems and all sorts of complaints started coming in about, we can't see this thing properly, you know? And I know what it's like because we've been to the Sistine Chapel where that's exactly the case. And then you know what happened? People started to lie down just to be able to look at it. So they're like, and they just beheld it for hours on end. Eventually, one bright spark decides, let's do something clever. They built a mirror into the floor of the foyer. So when people walk in, they can look in the mirror and see the picture. And sure, it's not a perfect dimension and representation, but sure, you can still see it. And the beautiful thing was about this was that people could look down now and see the glory above. And this is who we are, church. This is why it's so important that Christ followers live with a hopeful mentality. Because we are good news people. People that carry the glory of earth. And when people look at you and me, they should see the glory that is from above in us. You with me? that when they look at our lives, they see the glory of what is above. This is what the church is. This is what it means to be a good news people. This is why it's so important that you and I become hopeful people, so that when we interact with people, people don't leave going, oh, I regret going to that braai with that guy. The guys at work avoid you at the coffee station because they know, hey, when this guy comes along, it's going to be more of the same drama. You with me? No. No, that when people rub up against us, there's hope that's caught. There's spirit. Why? Because we're carrying the glory from above. When they see our lives, it reflects. Amen? Come, let's pray together, shall we? Boksburg, Edenvale, can I ask where every one of us, just can I invite us to take a moment and close our eyes and let's enter a moment of prayer. And you might be sitting here today saying, how do I become a good news person? How do I become a person that lives with hope like this? The very starting point of what I've spoken to us about today is that we follow Jesus. You see, it's only possible for followers of Jesus to cultivate a hopeful mentality like what we've been talking about, because it's only enabled through the Spirit of God. And it's only a follower of Jesus who has the Spirit of God. And so this morning, if you want to follow Jesus, it would be my sincere pleasure and honor to lead you in a prayer. And I'm going to ask you in just a moment, I'm going to say, hey, slip up your hand on the count of three. I'll do a quick count to three. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand nice and high, nice and quick. I'm going to see it. The team will see it in Boksburg. We'll see it here in Edenvale. And I'll say thank you for that. And then I'll pray with you and for you. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to identify you. I'm simply going to see you and say thank you for your hand. Thank you for your life. And I'm going to lead you in a moment of prayer. And so if that's you and you'd like me to pray for you like that, on the count of three, would you slip up your hand nice and high? Ready? One, two, three. Hands up across this place. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, sir, at the back. Thank you, ma'am, over here as well. I've seen you. Thank you. Thank you, Boksburg. Thank you for the hands. Thank you, ma'am, over here. I see you as you raise your hand as well. Thank you. Boksburg, thank you. The team are seeing you in this moment. Come, let's pray together, church. Jesus, thank you so much for your love. Jesus, thank you that you were humble. You left the glory of heaven, came to earth, lived a perfect life, not only as the Son of God, but as the co-equal in the Trinity. God Himself, God made flesh. You lived a perfect life, and yet you died a sinner's death. You died in my place and in our place, so that we could come close to the Father, so that we could call Him friend. Jesus said to His disciples, as He says to us, I no longer call you slaves, I call you friend, because that is what you are. Thank you for every life in Boksburg and in Edenvale that's responded to you today. Right now I pray, Holy Spirit, fill them. Thank you that we can repent, turn away from that which is not life-giving in our lives. Thank you that we can begin a new life. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that it's enabled by you. And so I do ask you to fill each person now in Jesus' name. Thank you for your forgiveness, Father. Thank you that we can ask for forgiveness. In our lives, where we've been, what we've done, we can say right now in this moment, Father, forgive us in your name. Amen.
You have been blessed and helped by this message. For more information about our church, visit our website at www.thrivechurch.co.za.